hear that tune, so you know what time it is. It's time to head in the garden here on this Thursday afternoon. You're listening to KFSK. And before we get Master Gardener Ed Bajarski on the phone lines, let's say a quick thank you to the Flower Farm for helping underwrite this program. They're at 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing, 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. each day but Wednesday. Their phone number is 772-3464. Delivery is available as well. They've got bouquets by the jar or a subscription. Colorful blooms in those. That's the Flower Farm. Okay, well, we're going to get a hold of Master Gardener Ed Bajarski here. Ed, are you on the line with us?
I'm here, Oren.
All right. Well, welcome to the show, and thanks for making the time to share some expertise with us. What's going on in the garden?
Well, it's interesting. Our usual weather here today, we had a sunny day, pretty nice. It's off and on, and now the sprinkles are starting to return. Hmm. But there's interesting pests, past, present, and increasing, shall we say, and not to mention the mystery seeds.
Yes. What can you tell us about those?
That's an interesting one. I've gotten some calls. I don't know of anybody who's got any, perhaps in Southeast Alaska, but at least going online, they say that there's been somebody in every state has gotten them, apparently. And one might ask, well, why is that a problem? It depends on if you've read articles or not. But it's sort of thing where the seeds are coming unordered, and there's other, I'm not sure about the technical details about the scams on identity and other sort of stuff. But at least one concern is if folks just happen to decide and try to figure out what they are, because apparently they come without labels as to what they are. I've seen pictures of packets. Some of the pictures of the seeds, at least, look kind of like they're orange or lemon seeds or something like that. And others have been, apparently they're identifying the USDA is the concerned agency. I guess they've identified some of them as being various herb seeds. I've also heard of some sort of squash seeds. And hard to say what all else. But part of the concern for folks not to, other than the technical stuff about, some sort of fraud online, is that we don't know what they are and whether these seeds have been properly cleaned and certified by some government agency and even allowed to be brought into the U.S. In some ways, it's kind of like the certified seed potato program. But again, there may be some of these may be from some invasive plants. Some may have some diseases. Usually, you don't get pest critters with seeds, but diseases are possible if those seeds were not properly cleaned by somebody somewhere. I've heard China and I think one other country too. That they've supposedly come from, one of the Stan countries in southern Russia. So, kind of strange stuff, and just caution mostly, and the recommendation I've heard is that bring them, send them, contact the USDA to let them know that you got some of these, and if folks do a search, they should find a contact for that agency. Mm-hmm.
Certainly a strange thing, and definitely, of course, there was an initial reaction of kind of grievous fear about, the initial headlines and everything around these mystery seeds were pretty alarming. But it sounds like, it's just don't plant them, but yeah, turn them in.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing that if With this kind of thing and with, we're not getting plants that way, but folks, I have in the past ordered plants and seeds from outside the U.S., from Scotland, England, and other places, and there is a procedure certainly for the plants to be inspected, and they actually give what's called a phytosanitary certificate by an agency to bring plants across. I've done it with Canadian plants recently, as far as that goes. And they, again, there are mechanisms in place for that, that the nurseries who do cross-border shipments have access to the inspectors who can then look at the plants to see that they're healthy. They may look, they may very well look at the roots to see that they're healthy, to check the soil, that there's no obvious bugs, pests, that kind of critters in the soil if they're being shipped in soil, or that they have to be literally root washed and then packed potentially in or wrapped up in paper towels. I've gotten plants that way, in a plastic bag, or wrapped up in clean sphagnum moss is another way of packaging. So there's ways to do it properly, legally. Of course, there's a fee. Of course, that means it's going to cost more. But again, if so that you don't bring in something nasty that you share, I believe that to be worthwhile.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's an interesting issue.
It is. It is. So just, yeah, I'd be curious to hear if anybody gets some of these things sometime here in Southeast. So, I mean, I've got more than enough seeds to keep me busy here.
Right, right.
Always experimenting, as many gardeners are experimenting on trying new stuff. So beware.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Good tips. Yeah, thanks for raising that one. You mentioned pests in the soil, and that kind of raises another topic, root maggots and whatnot. You know, seeing a lot of people, you know, taking sort of glorious selfies with their cabbages this time of year, which I love. But, you know, so now that cabbages and that family of plants are at harvest time, do people need to be thinking about, you know, checking their soil for root maggots?
Certainly. And this is the sort of thing where even just as the plants are growing, particularly, and the one main one that we really see the effects on the above ground parts, I've noticed, are with cauliflower. Root maggots particularly, the fly seems to particularly like those. And if they lay their eggs, the maggots go down and chew up the roots. Well, if those plants have been affected like that, the roots have been chewed off very much, we might look down a row of them and see plants which on a dry, sunny day may be wilting, severely wilted, compared to the plant right next to them, which looks perfectly healthy. And that's one of the indicators that you may well have them. And if you go down and grab a hold of that cauliflower plant and give a gentle tug to start with, and some of them will come right out because there's no roots to anchor them to the soil, and you may see the little maggots, and they're going to be small. They're going to be at most a quarter inch long. It's a small fly. And you may see the maggots on those plants. And if you do, you should carefully take that plant, maggots and all, you know, and at least to start with, put it in a bucket. If you can also then with a trowel or scoop, take out a handful or two of soil right there around where you pulled it out of, throw that in the bucket also, and then look at your other plants too. And if there's multiple plants that seem to be affected, get them all out and get some soil with them. And then take that, do not compost that. You could compost if you cut the tops off, you could compost the tops because the roots aren't, or the maggots aren't going to be in that. But the underground parts should be put into a garbage bag and off to the dump. Or, I mean, if you can burn them, that's great. That would take care of too, but that's kind of a challenge. And then look at the other cabbage family crops you might be growing. Radishes, which were kind of at an in-between stage, it's just about time to plant some new radishes. But other stuff, the broccoli, the cabbage, turnips, rutabagas, check some of those too. And with those with the root crops at least, you particularly will see holes or tunnels into the plant. And if you slice into it, those tunnels may very, very well go into fairly deep into that root also.
So it's at least, I'm hearing you say that the root maggot there isn't like taking over the whole soil, building a little colony underneath. It's really around the plant.
Yes, very close. Yep, it's going to be right there on the roots, or immediately beside the roots in the soil. When they complete their life cycle on the plant, they've eaten all they need to eat, then they pupate in the soil and stay there over the winter. They may not stay that long, because we have been getting nowadays, used to be just pretty much one crop of the little critters. Nowadays we're getting potentially two crops or even three within one summer, one growing season. And so some of those, I don't know if they're a little more precocious, if it's a soil temperature issue that they, that makes the pupa develop faster so that the flies emerge again, searching for more of the same plants to lay their eggs on for a second crop, potentially. And then maybe those finish their life cycle, become pupas, and maybe those are going to be the ones that will overwinter in the soil. So again, that's why we want to rotate our crops. We don't plant back into the same box or bed our cabbage family crops of whichever sort. And that's also why we want to put that barrier of the Rime or Agribon horticultural fabric over the newly planted seeds or seedlings or transplants. When it's really, as soon as we plant them in, you know, next April or May or June, depending on when, or even, I mean, if I'm going to be planting radishes here or kale, which is less affected, but occasionally, you know, we may be planting some of those, or short season turnips, or mustard greens. We can plant that stuff now. We've got plenty of growing time, cool weather growing time, for them to mature so we can eat them yet this fall. So they still need to be protected.
Right, right. Okay, well, it's worth it, but there's some work to do there.
There is. And then there's other pests which are just now showing up. You know, there's a season for these critters. And one of which, we've talked in the past few years, and they seem to be increasing, perhaps because of, again, changing weather patterns. This day before yesterday, here at my house, and 2 days before that, at another person's house, on their apple trees, on the new growth, the tips of the new growth on the apple trees, I found the first few of the woolly bear caterpillars that we have chatted about in the past. But they're little guys. They're only, again, only a quarter inch long so far. So, you know, if you have noticed them on certain plants, and it doesn't, to me at least, doesn't seem like they're on the, so much on the vegetable crops as more on the, more of the shrubbery, and certainly apples and cherries I've seen them on. I have seen them some on fireweed, but also even on alders. Are fairly common. So look at your shrubbery. I've seen them on raspberry plants and blackberry plants. So again, that places to look if you have had them in the past. And if you haven't, well, you're lucky, and just wait, because you probably will.
So what kind of mitigations should a person consider if they're starting to host woolly bears?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to prevent them. I mean, doing garden cleanup in the fall, because again, I don't know about you, but I find lots of the small cocoons, which they make hiding underneath, boy, all over the place. I found them inside pots, inside or underneath tarps, under piles of firewood. Boy, I've seen them crawling up the side of my garage or the house. I mean, everywhere. And then they make these little cocoons, where, again, the pupa overwinter, and the cocoons are made of, they spin, essentially, they're kind of like a silkworm almost, but they spin it and incorporate in those fuzzy hairs, those fuzzy and very irritating hairs, into their cocoons. So, again, if you can do some garden cleanup, raking, disturbing the soil, and really, boy, it's tough, trying to stop them from finding a place to hide out and make their cocoon. I mean, I found them, I flushed them out of, literally find out I've got to put my hoses together at the end of the season because the woolly bears will go inside the garden hose. And then, of course, you try to use it later on, and then they plug it up. Wow. I mean, all sorts of weird places where they may be found. If you have an infestation, you can spray them with soap spray. That'll work to kill them. And, of course, you can squish them and step on them when you see them crossing the driveway. But, again, some folks are extremely sensitive to those hairs, you know, skin rash, sensitivity issues, and worse. You know, don't let kids play with them. That's not a good idea. They may end up with a trip to the emergency room because of that irritation, which may trigger some, skin sensitivity / allergy.
Good reminder. They are so fuzzy, you know. It's keeping an eye out for kids around them or just talking to the kids who are in and around the garden with you, just letting them know, hey, those aren't pets.
Right, exactly. They're very attractive. They're kind of fun to watch. You know, you certainly watch them walking across the yard or across the driveway or otherwise. That's fine. But yeah, don't be playing with them, handling them. You know, you put one in your hand and it, you know, initially curls up and it opens up and starts crawling away. Well, it's really easy for it to shed those irritating hairs, which is their protective mechanism against predators.
Yeah, you could think of them as tiny little porcupines or something.
That's pretty apt, actually. You know, they certainly chew on leaves, as porcupines do, and that's the porcupines are out and about now, chewing on. Certainly, I've seen and heard from folks their raspberries, strawberry plants. I've looked at a couple of trees. Cherry trees that have been chewed up quite severely, you know, out there, particularly the new growth. So yeah, that's another problem. At least for your trees, if you can use some stovepipe around the trunks so that the porcupines can't climb up into the trees, is good. And otherwise, around to protect your raspberries, strawberries, and that sort of thing, getting some netting of some sort. Hanging loose netting around them so that the porcupines can't climb over or hopefully underneath either to get at some of their favorite crops.
Yeah, they have similar taste in berry bushes to us.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting, although, well, the porcupines aren't too keen on most of the alders. They like the Sitka alder, but not the red alder. So, where the woolly bears, they definitely go for the red alder, which is the most common one around us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's a week to be alert for various hazards out there.
It is, and it's a week, like I said, to be thinking about planting. You know, don't stop planting now. I've just finished today. I've got all my garlic out of the ground. It's curing. It's looking really good. And now I've got all these empty beds. We talked earlier about planting cover crops on them. I've got some 4 boxes so far planted with that. But I'm also in my hoop house where I had some of this garlic also that came out. That's a place where I'm going to be planting some spinach here in the next day or two. I may get some this fall to eat, I hope. But also, and then hopefully plant some in a month and then maybe another month that will then be overwintering crops. And folks, again, could be planting, I mentioned mustard greens, radishes, early turnips, and kale. All of those crops could be planted. And if they are lucky enough to have some lettuce starts that they previously started, they can be going into the ground to grow. and then, of course, to try to protect those from the slugs, which are very active with all the moisture that we've had.
Mm. Yep.
I've got some very lacy-looking broccoli plants that have been just about shredded by the slugs.
Yeah.
My evening walkabout with my ammonium water sprayer is trying to thin the herd.
Yeah, well, it's a good reason to be taking a stroll in the evening. Are the slugs, do they pretty much hide out during the day?
Yes, normally, unless, of course, it's a really cool and rainy day. And so sometimes you'll catch some last few that are, you know, they're late to go to bed in the morning. Or again, early to get moving in the evening if it is a cool and rainy day. So it's an ongoing battle. And otherwise, turning, if you've got some boards, blocks, bricks, other stuff out there in the garden, like hiding places that you might put out there deliberately for that purpose, then again, you can turn those over and shoot the slugs if you see them underneath that. Mm-hmm. And then the dead slugs will be food for the next batch of slugs who come along to eat them. And then so you make the rounds and do it again.
I guess so. Yeah.
So they're not just vegetarians.
No, they're hungry. Okay, so doing some planting, doing some just defensive practices there, keeping an eye out for mysterious packages of. But it doesn't sound like it's, you know, a ubiquitous problem. It's pretty isolated incidents, really, as far as those mystery seeds.
I don't know what kind of numbers there are out there. And the other thing folks ought to be doing, hopefully they are lucky enough to have some, is picking cherries right now, and not to mention other assorted berries. But, yeah, pick the cherries as quickly as they ripen because, again, when the rains come, they are splitting, and then they get moldy and rot. So it is cherry picking time. Cherry picking and pitting time, and then freeze them or make pies. We made a cherry crisp, and my wife made some cherry cinnamon rolls, which were really tasty. So again, there's all sorts of goodies. You know, we can be planting and we can be harvesting, and everything in between.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, that we kind of take for granted so far in this conversation, but this is such a delicious time to be just eating out of the garden too. I mean, so much wonderful stuff is just ready to eat. Every meal, pretty much, you can get something good out of the garden.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I noticed as I'm pulling up my garlic in some of those boxes where there were potatoes last year, there are volunteer potatoes. So, again, I'm getting a few small potatoes out of the deal, too, as I get those up and out and before the main crop will come in the next few weeks or a month or two. As we're ready for harvest.
Nice. So do you like to rotate potatoes and garlic crop into those beds?
Well, I have a lot. That's one of the potential rotations. However, I don't grow that many potato boxes as I do garlic boxes. There's other stuff that go in there too, and it may very well be lettuce, cabbage, kale, carrots, beets, in their peas. Again, so the rotation is flexible. It's just trying to keep track what you have and from one year to the next. And even ideally keep track, I'm trying to keep track more and better on you know, at least a 3 to 4 years. So I get a 3 year rotation before the same crop goes back into the ground.
Makes sense. That sounds good. Okay, well, lots of important topics this week, and lots for stuff to people to think about and work on, and maybe we'll leave it there unless you have any parting thoughts.
That's all for now. We've gotten a little better weather than we expected. I mean, there's more weather coming. We've always got more weather coming, so we'll take advantage of whatever we get. And the moist weather is good for planting or transplanting, and on from there.
Yeah, true. Okay. Well, that's a good point. And Great. Well, that's where we'll leave it then for this week, and we'll pick up the conversation again next week. Thank you so much for being with us there, Ed.
Okay. You're welcome, Oren. Till next week.
Till next week. There you have it. That's In the Garden for this week. And, yeah, feel free to think about questions to pose to Master Gardener Ed Bajarski. He always has lots of good topics that come up naturally as people come to him throughout the week with questions, and he's happy to share those answers with us too this way, as we've seen. But if you've got something specific you need to learn about, yeah, don't be shy. You could shoot an email in advance or call during the program next week. Anyway, it's a great resource for information, because sometimes it can feel like a battle out there in the garden making the most of these conditions, but well worth the effort. And Ed Bajarski's there to give us some knowledge and encouragement along the way. So that's great. Big thanks to the Flower Farm for helping underwrite this program there at 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing. Open every day but Wednesday, 10 till 4. The phone number at the Flower Farm, 772-3464. They do have delivery available. And bouquets by the jar or by the subscription. Stay tuned. High Country Music is coming up next here on KFSK. Karen Severson, your DJ this afternoon for the Country Music Show. Then at 4 p.m., All Things Considered. Your local news at 4:30. Our statewide news at 5 o'clock. And then at 6 o'clock, bringing you the live coverage of the Petersburg School Board meeting. It's a special session happening at 6 o'clock this evening. And afterward, it'll be TED Radio Hour. Then Radio Free Petersburg with Chris Weiss from 10 till midnight. So, great day of radio.